SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
La 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 la
la la la la la la.
Yeah.
It's time for Moneyline, your place to be for the madness of March, with your host, Kevin Walsh.
The cap is still there, but the price is still good. I'm going to bet this. I went a little 3-0 on a three-pack of college basketball. It was a nice weekend in that way. I mean, I'm an eligible bachelor, so.
And Donnie Wrightside.
Now, hold, like, I love slander. Like, slander is so much fun. Like, nobody was defending the wide out. What a 15-yard out. Like, thank God. Like, I don't think I could make it in this world anymore. 1 minute, I'd be like, I'm out of questions for this girl. Girl, I don't even know what to say anymore. Like, what did you think about the game last night? That's minute number two already.
On Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159.
Smooth! Smooth! That's what we want back in the headlines here. Let's get after it today. It's a Wednesday. Midweek action tomorrow. Start back up here in a little Sweet 16, followed by the Elite 8 this weekend. Good times had by all. The WBC wrapped up last night. Japan was a winner. Now we are 8 days out from opening day in Major League Baseball. It's your boy DRS here with Kevin Walsh. And yes, it is Moneyline. Feeling good today. Feeling good.
Are you? We like to hear that.
I mean,
you know what? That's probably because you're coming off of the high.
Yeah.
Of baseball.
Woo! I mean, the only thing I could think of is, man, it is going to be a hot boy summer out here. It really is. It really is for baseball, man. Yeah.
I mean,
that's excitement levels.
I mean, now, please, can you please make sure you just send out plays of the day with the hashtag also hot boy summer?
I mean,
I'm begging you.
I mean, that could be one of that. I mean, can we work that into a topic on the early line?
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, hot boy summer. Get ready.
So, you know, I was thinking about this morning a little
bit
here, right? So I dropped in a headline that read NFL draft odds move.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's not the most descript thing of all time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ultimately, we had a graphic that, you know, mentioned the NFL draft. It was all good. But I was like, what if I just get a little more vague with these? If I just write hot boy summer, is there going to be, you know, back channel contacts? Or do we think assumptions will be made by everybody as to what I'm even getting?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, they'll just let you go with the flow. Like, I think the game plan is set here, and they just want to see where it winds up, right? I don't think anybody having issues with that. Neither would I. Like, if I see, like, segment 7, Hot Boy Summer, I'm like, all right. Like, I'm in. Like, what are you guys going to talk about? I don't know. But we'll get in there and make it happen.
You know that's probably your time to shine. If a segment
yeah,
is Hot Boy Summer,
yeah,
it's probably built for DRS.
Yeah, you give me a crack. I mean, we're having a great segment there. Like, it could just go wherever. We could stop it and just, you know, reset the segment on air live. It could be all about that.
Now, explain yourself today, the slam ball comment you made. Now, I'm going to be honest with you.
That's pretty good.
Many times I see him coming.
Yeah.
That one I didn't see coming. I didn't see the slam ball comment coming a mile away.
Well, see, I figured we were having a good topic figuring that, like, oh, hold on, like, Zion and slam ball, like, you know, he's going to jump at it, like, land in the stands, like, way too many times. So I was like, all right, so one guy who's jumping through the roof, that I say to myself, now, hold on, like, how does this work? Like, is there a weight distribution that you need? Like, do you get on that trampoline and you can't get up to the rim and be like, what's going on out here? You know what I mean?
Stop. Now, hold on. Now, I'm playing slam ball, still taking layups.
Yes.
I mean, like, you're doing like backboard.
You're on a full blast breakaway, and you just like taking like a fadeaway jumper off that bounce. Guys are trying to meet you. Like, you see some of the slam. Everyone knows what we're talking about here. Slam ball coming back from like the year 2000, where you jump off the trampoline. There were some epic blocks. So I'm figuring like, you know, regular slam ball guy A is coming down here. K-Dub's coming down the wing. You hit the trampoline. He hits it. He's up at the rim for the block. And it's like, where is Kevin at? You know what I mean?
He just flies by.
Yeah. Like, you're doing a reverse layup. And it's like, what's going on here?
I mean, I'm Euro stepping and slam ball, yeah. man. They don't yeah. know what's going down. Oh, yeah. my goodness. That's good.
We'll see if that betting market rises up at that point, you know, in pickleball, which Rick is fired up. Who's on it? Who's ready for slam ball?
No, you don't think that it's let's be honest here. I mean, let's shoot from the hip. Slam yeah. ball odds get posted. Gay Morenci starts pleading about it like he
Yeah, you know what? You are exactly. Like, I've been on this since 2000. I've been waiting for it to come back. You know what I mean? Like, that's feels like we would get from Gabe. And then we would go, I'd go on my Tuesday and I'd hit with Gabe, be like, slam ball tonight, what do you like? And I'm like, no, hold on now. Like, there's many more other, there's many more other topics. And heaven forbid, if a Canadian gets in the slam ball, I mean, it's over. I mean, that might as well be 6 to 8 slam ball live right here on the Sports Grid Network. Yeah.
Too bad Team Canada didn't have that full run in them for the World Classic. So that's all right, though. They tried.
I'm telling you if they did. By the way, baseball, yes. Starting up in 8 days, fantastic stuff. I'm very interested in that because, you know, I'm no longer, to be frank, I've never been let me do a ton of homework because, you know, my MO in the seasons is saying, you know, I need numbers. Like, I got to watch these things play out and sit out an entire month. And I'm like, you know what? Now we're ready to go. But I'm very interested to see the handicapping, not on sides, Kevin. Like, okay, Phillies are -160. I don't care about that. I want to see how these team totals are posted and totals for games are. Now, granted, if we're just going to get normal weather conditions throughout the month of April, 55 degrees, 60 degrees, winds blowing in, winds blowing out, that's what I want to say, not because it's like, okay, it's 22 degrees out here. I need to see what happens. No shift, pitch clock here. You know, whether or not we're going to get the dumbed down baseballs right off the bat. I got a feeling, K-Dub, it's going to get rolling and rolling quickly here. Like, we're going to see, and again, I'm not saying 9-8 ball games, but I doubt we're going to see 3-2 action here. Everything is slanted toward the offense, and I am here for it. Team totals, it's going to be a hot boy summer out here. Come on back. Come on back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fresh off of the WBC yesterday. Do we get any numbers yet, K-Dub, on what the ratings were? I think we'd be blasted around, yeah.
So just like honest answer from my from the wrestling ratings that come out, which comes out with everything else, I believe, is usually around 4 o'clock. So I don't know why these would be any different. So between 4 and 4:15, you should probably get the WBC ratings.
Yeah, we'll probably have some good ratings. Now, the reason I bring that up is the WBC is done. We shift our focus to the Major League Baseball season coming up. Shohei Ohtani, free agency, right, at the end of the year. One of your favorite sites here, Spotrac, said their current evaluations, or current valuations for Shohei Ohtani as a pitcher would be 8 years, $230 million. As a hitter would be 10 years, $333 million. So you look at that and say, oh, that's interesting. And then you say, well, hold on. He's both. So what does that actually mean for us here? Is he going to be a Patrick Mahomes 10-year, $500 million contract player? Is that what we're looking at here for Ohtani?
So many people have been asking this, or at least, I don't know if many, but I know Passan has consistently tweeted about it. Therefore, I imagine the talking point is he a $500 million player? Which is an astronomical number there. Let me play this devil's advocate, though, because something that just jumped out with those evaluations, right? There was a year gap, right? It was like the fact that the pitcher got 8 years, Ohtani the pitcher gets 8, right?
Yes.
But Ohtani the hitter gets 10.
Yeah.
How much longer is Shohei going to be able to pitch? Like, he's already had an injury related to pitching, and I'm not trying to downplay his excellence. He is the MVP of the sport. He's the face of the sport. And trust me, if the Yankees got him, I'd be doing backflips like you wouldn't believe. I'm just saying the rare nature of Ohtani is the expectation that just that will last the length of his career.
It's a good point you bring up. And if you try to keep it in the sport of baseball, let's just keep it with catchers, right? And here's always the topic that comes up. Let's just say the better catchers in the market, whether it's Yadier Molina, who played a million years and caught all the way through, that's a rarity, right? Because your knees start to go. Well, that concept here is coming to fruition with the DH in Philadelphia, Kevin, with JT Realmuto, where you try to factor in, like, what is his price and how long is he going to be a catcher for? Does he have to go to first base? Will he just be a DH at that point? It's a good point you bring up because you figure sooner than later, Otani's probably going to break down. But first, as a pitcher, much, much sooner than a DH or just a fielder at this point. So it is interesting where it's like, okay, you know, 8 years, 10 years. And also, how long do you want him to be a true pitcher for if that's actually hampering, let's just say, his plate appearances? Sooner or later, he's going to switch over, but he's so dominant right now. But I think you're right about that. Like, how long do you give him and say, well, this is partly because we think he can pitch for 10 years and dominate?
Otani the pitcher is more valuable than Otani the hitter, though, right?
Right now.
Yeah. I'm saying, like, you know, yes. And that's what makes Otani so interesting is I'm not, like, if one of those areas does slip back, like, you're also like, wow, the $500 million thing is obviously so wild, but the fact of the roster spot alone that he kind of frees up. I mean, look, if someone offers him 10 years, $500 million, do we really think the talking points are going to be, oh, my goodness, what are they doing in terms of the, like, I think we'll just say, wow, what a star, right? But I'm not sure are people going to immediately run to say, what a bad contract?
No, because we've never seen this before. Like, Patrick Mahomes for the Kansas City Chiefs, let's just say 10 years, $450 million, which I believe his deal. For NFL purposes, he's worth every penny because of how good he is a quarterback, and you figure he's going to play, you know, for those 10 years and dominate. Great for the Chiefs, great for the brand. But when you talk about Otani, 10 years, $500 million, and again, it's not a Major League Baseball contract. It's, let's just say, a Los Angeles Angels contract. He said, man, I can't. They're going to spend $500 million on one baseball player. You're crazy. Honestly, think over that 10-year period, you're going to make like $1 billion back on Shohei Ohtani. Like, just the ad sales. Like, you can just reach out to the Asian market, Kevin, and say to yourself, all right, well, tire contracts, TV contracts, whatever contracts, they're Xfinity, they're like the number that you could get back is like, hey, you know, we got a really good player, Mike Trout. Cool, he's great in the United States, and yeah, he does have some worldwide appeal. But you're talking about like Shohei Ohtani, who is going, hey, we really want him to be the face of, you know, Toyo Tires, which you see pop up all over the place. Like, that marketplace is so massive that I don't think no matter what you sign him to, the valuations will be there from the Angels' perspective going, okay, if we lay out $80 million for Ohtani, what are we going to get? Well, actually, we can sell an extra $120 million in ads. So, okay, we made $40 million, even though we're going to pay Ohtani $80. That's the way they look at it.
No, but it's such an awesome breakdown. It's such a unique thing. We never factor this in when guys are signed in terms of the ROI. I guess, mm-hmm. Like, we always think about contracts in terms of can you win with the player? That's
yes.
Always what we think about, right? Mm-hmm. We never think about the business they generate. And in baseball, it's probably most relevant, right? Where the Lakers at the end of the day can get all this money by having LeBron on their team. But there's a salary cap, right?
Yes.
Imagine if the NBA didn't have a salary cap and the Lakers were the Lakers while having LeBron. I mean, they'd also have Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard, probably nonsense like that. For the Angels, and again, this is kind of the beef, if you will, and I know they do spend, but you would imagine a world where they give Ohtani $500 million. They go, I mean, we've got almost $1 billion in two players in Trout and Ohtani. What do you want us to do? And I would genuinely appreciate, you know, a Forbes magazine article if they were like,
breakdown.
You're actually like robbing Ohtani. He's worth $1 billion. Like,
correct.
You're making money hand over fist because of what he actually brings to your business.
Yes, like in a true free market where you don't have to worry about salary cap and or luxury tax, that's how you grade it on. And you're right about it. It's a very good point where it's usually we take a look at a guy and say, oh, no. Like, keep it in baseball terms, right? Well, he got Manny Machado got $300 million. Oh, it's really going to hurt you from signing somebody else in the future. But if the baseball team came out and go, no, listen to us. We pay him $30 million between revenue, ad sales, and, you know, national appeal. We're making $3 million profit on that just for him alone being here as what the valuation is. And it's the same thing again with Ohtani. Boy, you're not going to be able to sign anybody if you have to give him $80 million a year. And they go, no, you don't understand. We gave him 80, but we make 120 off him. Like, it puts you in a different stratosphere at that point of what actually makes sense. So when you talk about, like, the Yankees and their payroll, like, oh, man, they got a $240 million payroll. Yeah, well, their rights fees are 10 times what Tampa's are. So it all is relative, going like, hey, you're going to sign Judge that much money? You can't sign anybody. So, no, you don't understand. Aaron Judge is on our team. Here's what our ratings are. Here's what our cable fees are from the YES Network. Whoa, you actually just made $15 million because you have Aaron Judge. That's how you have to look at it.
Yeah, it's again, so fascinating then because whatever team is able to bring Ohtani in, if he leaves, you know, how many teams, DRS, because we always go Yankees, Dodgers, Mets, I feel like, when we talk about Ohtani, because who can actually afford this?
Yeah.
Do you think that those big three could almost sit there and be like, you know what, let him get to free agency, and we'll try and win the war there? Because of how much they'll actually have to give up in terms of prospects, even though it would, you know, be essentially kind of a half-year thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Why wouldn't you wait? Like, you're talking about, you know, the valuation and how much he's going to cost. And it's the same way we talk about Lamar Jackson. Let's just say Lamar Jackson goes, you know what? I want a ton of guaranteed money, but it doesn't even have to be 100% guaranteed money. And, oh, by the way, the NFL just said you don't owe the Ravens 2 first-round draft picks. And then it's almost like, you know, Learjets are flying into Baltimore trying to negotiate with Lamar Jackson. It's all relative at that point, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to give up, get Ohtani? Yeah, let's get Ohtani. By the way, you got to lose your best five pitchers. Like, whoa, wait a second. Like, yeah, we want Ohtani, but come on now. Like, if you want to pay Ohtani $500 million a year, you better not be giving up five-star prospects behind that.
Well, that's the... But that's the give and take, though, because at least, like, let me give the Yankees perspective on
this.
Like, if I have to hear about how, like, oh, we can't give up Anthony Volpe, who might not even start over Isaiah Conner-Falefa, like, I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose my mind.
We would go after Ohtani, but just Dominguez is ready to come up here to the majors. We can't give up on that and risk Ohtani at this point here, exactly. We'll be back. It's a Wednesday afternoon Moneyline. Come on back. Have some fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Yes, you know what time it is. Well, soon, Kevin, as we said, it will be a hot boy summer. Particularly on Sunday, January 25th, 7 p.m., Scotiabank Arena, Toronto, Ontario, for Forbidden Door 2 presale. I mean, are we in on the presale? Is this one of those days you might be taking off, by the way? Because you seem like Forbidden Door might be, you know, the real deal here for AEW.
Look, so if we're shooting here, not working.
Yeah, we are. Nope, we're shooting.
I was tempted to go. It is 2 days. It is right around my brother's birthday, who, as you're well aware of, obviously, he and I go to a lot of these events together.
Yep.
So, basically, kind of, it starts off with, hey, are you interested in going to this? Because I'm not going to run to Canada by myself without him around his birthday for an AEW event. Wouldn't even make sense. So, he basically is like, nah, don't think it's really worth it. I was like, well, the Blue Jays are in town. He goes, yeah, I already looked at that. But they're playing like the Athletics, so just didn't have the juice overall. To make the trip. I was tempted, though, because you see the immediate sellout. The crowd at that event should really be spectacular. It really, really should.
Now, let me ask you a question on this, because I'm trying to get the vibe of that conversation with your brother here. Is this one of those, like, your brother's birthday, so you don't want to, like, be away from him on his birthday? Do I sort of get that sort of vibe?
Well, I think, I will likely be with him for his birthday. But specifically in this, Don, as I now I'm starting to pick up that you're roasting me a little bit for that, which is outrageous behavior. he and I go to these events all the time together, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we could basically go as almost like a birthday trip for him to Canada, to the show, catch a Blue Jays game, make a big thing of it. I don't even really want to go to the event all that much if he's not into it. But specifically, if it's right around his birthday, it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, no, it's not as if you're like, hey, let's get in the car, it's in Boston, right? Like, it's a different country at this point, or, you know, flight in, flight out.
If it was, because last year's was in Chicago,
Yeah.
We just assumed it would be in Chicago because AEW runs major events in Chicago. It feels like 24/7. We were probably going to make that trip to Chicago. But the Toronto thing threw things off a little.
Now, I do feel that without seeing like the dirt sheets here, Will Ospreay, I mean, he's going to be big in this event. Is that the case
100%,
here?
100%. He did get a little banged up, though, wrestling over in New York about a week or so ago, but he'll be back for this event. This is one he can't miss.
I mean, Danhausen out here, too, getting banged up. Huge loss for the boys in the room. You know, you got to get morale back up there. Can't have these peck injuries here. But I did see, who was it, Cody Rhodes wrestled with the torn pec, so maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. I mean, if Cody can do it, then certainly megastar, superstar Danhausen can.
No, certainly can. By the way, hey, NFL news today, Ohio State's Pro Day, which is big news. Why? Because there's a lot of really good football players that come from Ohio State. Now, granted, there is a quarterback, obviously, where teams are flying in. They want to get a look at him, who is not going to run the 40, and that's C.J. Stroud. Now, here's what I was waiting for today, right? Smith and Jigba went to the combine, didn't run the 40, ran like the fastest three-cone drill in the history of the planet, right? So I see his time come today, which says he's going to run the 40. He runs it at 4.53 is what the first number came out. And I was just waiting for, like, the tweets come out. Like, yeah, oof. I don't know now. Like, you know, hey, can he go first round at 4.53? And he just like, hey, look, pop the tape in. He is going to eat somebody for breakfast the minute he gets to the NFL. Now, it shows as low as 4.48. But I really was waiting, Kevin, like, ooh, man, had him pegged like 4.42 here. That's going to be a tough one there, 4.53 unofficially. You know what I mean? Like, ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous.
I totally agree. Because here's the headlines that I see. Yeah, whoever's like worried about those headlines, they're reading the wrong ones. Here's the headlines that you should be reading. The New York Giants keep sending about 100 people to go talk to Jackson, Smith, and Jigba. And everyone's aware that the Giants are going to need to trade up if they want Jackson, yeah. Smith, and Jigba.
The good part about it is, too, because it is a lot of smoke screens that come out. Because a team that wants them goes, hey, you know what? It's an eye-opener that he didn't break 4-5 at this point. Like, oh, no. Teams are down him. No, they're not. Pop the tape in on what this kid can actually do, which leads me to believe. We talked about it this morning with wide receivers, and typically, you know, quarterbacks and wide receivers, dominant cornerbacks, and nasty edge pass rushers, that's who goes in the top 10. Now we're fighting for, can we get one wide receiver to sniff the top 10, which is Smith and Jigba at this point. Now, I don't think that's going to hurt his stock at all, but you're talking about, you know, an elite weapon that you figure that gets to the NFL. We're not going to have to worry too much about him. But I don't know. Maybe the wide receiver market is just so down this year, free agency and draft-wise.
Well, it is, actually. People really have fallen out of favor with this wide receiver class because you didn't get the season out of JSN. Jordan Addison actually wasn't a ringing endorsement of health, but he was good at USC. But maybe people expected a little bit more. And then Quentin Johnson has now become one of the fallers, really, of this draft season. Now, I know that, you know, for you, betting the draft is kind of a hit-or-miss thing, right? You'll get involved like everybody else. But yeah. I know you're a man of opportunity, value, and as we all are. We talked this morning about Jackson Smith and Jigba minus 140 to be the first wide receiver drafted. I'm staring at this number, and it just, DRS, it feels like tomorrow we log in, tomorrow morning I go, hey, did you see he's minus 260 now to be the first wide receiver off the board? It does not feel like he's about to run away with that market.
Yeah, because we don't even have any steam from anybody else.
Yes.
And we're talking, because it's, you know, we're out. Usually the combine, the movers and the shakers sort of move up at that point. And then you'll still hear about, oh, we had a really good, like, private workout. But you can ask, like, and again, I always try to run it back to, like, the common fan. Like, we don't have to be like, okay, Keyshawn Johnson's coming out. You know, he's going to be number one to the Jets, right? Or a dominant wide receiver like Jamar Chase. Like, oh, man, look, he's going to be good. Even Devonta Smith won the Heisman Trophy. He was a known commodity coming in where if you draft him, yeah, that makes sense. Like, he's a good football player at this point. But I look at this one, I say to myself, there's nobody behind him where you're like, oh, man, we got to get the kid from TCU. Like, what a mover and a shaker. And I felt like we might have actually started to get that late in the season as TCU continued to win games and got into the play. Like, oh, prototype NFL wideout. I haven't heard a damn thing from the kid from TCU. Like, good or bad, which is usually bad.
Right. Again, I feel like the TCU news is actually more he keeps falling down everybody's board, frankly. Like, I'm trying to gather up more mock drafts to see if my JSN read is accurate. The thing is, we are still more than a month away. But it's just one of those things that if you can get in on early, you know, it might be unbettable.
But because we know that about the NFL draft, right? Where you go, something's minus 350. And it's like, well, yeah, it's going to happen, but I'm not laying minus 350, right? So that's just one of those numbers I'm staring at right now. Is it worth it? I'm not sure. But it just feels like within the next, I would be surprised if that's still minus 140 by next week.
You know, the guy that's very interesting to me in the draft because, you know, Bijan Robinson is fun. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be a lot of fun. Where the quarterbacks go, and including Anthony Richardson, probably, you know, we know Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud are probably going to be 1-2 reversed or, you know, in order. It doesn't matter. But then it's going to be who's going to take that flyer. You could see Anthony Richardson going 5, 25, or 45, to be honest with you. Who knows what the NFL teams are actually thinking at this point, where a couple years ago you're watching the kid from Liberty, Malik Willis, get out there. Oh, my God. He must be number one overall. Draft day comes along, it's like, yeah, nobody likes this guy. I'm like, wait a second. I thought he was the best overall pick just like 3 weeks ago. We don't know really truly where NFL teams stand. But the tight end position has me really interested because the kid out of Notre Dame, Michael Mayer, if you've watched him play at Notre Dame, like tight ends are like in the ascension right now. You get yourself a really good tight end, your offense is usually cooking right away. And it doesn't matter who your wideouts are or anything. Case in point, like Mark Andrews for Baltimore. Oh, look, all you got to do is worry about Mark Andrews. And what's he do every game? Dominate out there. But this kid is so interesting, which I look at, like the Eagles have like 10 and 30. I'm telling you right now, you go double tight ends here with Goddard and Michael Mayer. I mean, it's just like lights out at this point. Teams love the double tight ends. They really do. I love that kid.
I think he's special. The incredible thing is he's not even allowed to be the first tight end off of the board. And I'm not sure that that's NFL overthink. But Dalton Kincaid, the Utah kid, was excellent. And then... Now, listen, you want to be careful because I think Mayer and Kincaid ultimately probably provided more. But Darnell Washington, the Georgia kid, it's just the biggest freak of nature, like walking the planet, it basically seems like. And if you look on FanDuel, it's plus 125 Mayer to be the first tight end selected. Kincaid plus 150, Darnell's 3-1, where it's not that separation that you see in some of these other markets. But I agree. I actually think at times we underrate the tight end position. And I don't know how that happens, especially in today's NFL. And here's the example I'd offer up. And I'm sure, I guess, the chemistry would factor in. But if you told the Chiefs right now you could get rid of Travis Kelce for literally any pass catcher in football, you know, Devontae Adams, they would take Travis Kelce, right? If you told the Niners you could get rid of George Kittle, or Debo Samuel, I mean, Debo's ability as a runner, maybe that kind of sways things. But in terms of pure wide receivers, like, I'm not sure how many guys that they would really take over a George Kittle there. That, you know, the Ravens survived by basically only having Mark Andrews. You get elite tight end play, and there aren't that many of them. It is just an absolute nightmare for your opponent.
Yes, it feels like they're wide open every single play.
Yeah.
Double the tight end. Well, hold on now. Travis Kelce's wide open. How'd that happen? Number one, because he's good. Number two, the scheme is intact. But I just look at that. It is a deep tight end draft. Even with the Laporta kid out of Iowa, he's at 40-1, but still a very, very good football player. But every time I watch Notre Dame football, like, Mayer just stood out. You couldn't cover the guy. You needed a 4th-and-4. You needed a 3rd-and-7. He could be triple covered. He was wide open, it felt like, the entire time. Be interesting to see where he ends up going in the draft. Draft coming up quickly here for us, no doubt about it. But you know what I want to talk about next? A quarterback here with a new head coach in the AFC got his knee scoped here in the offseason. Was it just injuries? Is a bounce back coming back? Find out who that quarterback is right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Teased a certain quarterback here before the break on Moneyline. Yeah, we're going to get into it here because there are some interesting numbers to take a look at. But if you guys want to get involved on any topics that you have, it's easy to do. Telephone number 844-843-6879. I'm going to go over NFL regular season MVP numbers here. And I'm not going to stop until I get to the guy that I want to talk about. Josh Allen, 7-1. Joe Burrow, 7-1. Patrick Mahomes, 7-1. Justin Herbert, 9-1. Jalen Hurts at 12-1. Lamar Jackson at 15-1. Aaron Rodgers, who doesn't have a team, 16-1. Trevor Lawrence, 16-1. Dak Prescott, 16-1. Tua Tagovailoa, we don't even know if he's going to play, 16-1. Justin Fields, I throw for 125 yards a game, 20-1. Deshaun Watson, I got suspended for half the year and looked terrible, 25-1. Jared Goff, 25-1. Trey Lance, I played three snaps and then snapped my leg, 25-1. Jordan Love, started one game in his career, 30-1. Geno Smith, a one-year flash in the pan, 30-1. Russell Wilson, 40-1 to be MVP. Now, I preface this by saying, there has to be some issues, right? The year before, busted up hand, hurt hamstring, re-injured the hamstring last year, knees having a problem. You get an offensive guru head coach in town. What looks like the semblance of, yeah, we're still going to have a pretty good offense. Russell Wilson at 40-1 to be MVP. And the reason I wanted to go line by line, Kevin, is you see some of the guys that are markedly higher in the ratings than he is. That's a lot of disrespect.
It's a ton. It's an absolute ton. And I have, you know, kind of struggled with, am I trying to defend an all-time bad pick in the Broncos to win a Super Bowl? Or am I seeing it clearly because I paid a little more attention to Denver and I wasn't as dismissive as everybody else? But you alluded to something as we hit the break that I've been trying to say for a while now, and that Russell Wilson was injured basically all of last season. He was bad. I'm not going to... Hey, guys, we're acting like Russ was terrible, but actually... No. Russ was terrible. He was terrible. But it seems like the injuries that were with Russell Wilson all season long, needing a shot in the shoulder, the fact that he had a hamstring injury that would have kept most quarterbacks out months... All of these things. And now, knee surgery here in the offseason. Maybe it's really good PR. Maybe I'm going to be sold a river again.
Yeah.
But you now bring in Sean Payton, and this guy's healthy. Again, that drop-off from Russ was inexplicable. It really was, for me at least. So, yeah, I'm buying what you're selling, DRS. I am.
And also, to win the Super Bowl, they're actually listed at 35-1. Obviously, way, way lower than what they were last year, flirting with it like 10-1, 12-1 when it was all said and done. Things really just went off the rails. But in the gambling business, the handicapping business, it's not about like, hey, jump on the hot team here because they're 8-1. It's trying to buy some value. Not really much has changed outside of you might get a better version of Russell Wilson, who was one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL over the past decade. One of the better head coaches is now joining them here. So you figure a competent staff. I even saw, I can't remember the player who it was. Was it Draymond Jones, I want to say maybe, who went from Denver to Seattle this year. And they gave him an interview. Like, I got this. Hey, look, I'm not going to lie to you. Like, there's a lot of things going around in Denver where, to most people in that organization, it just felt like football wasn't number one. Like, we were dealing with way too many things. Maybe that gets separated this year. Russell Wilson and his team having offices in the facility and, you know, hey, I run the show here as a quarterback as opposed to Sean Payton, which I love the answer he gave. It wasn't even diplomatic. Like, hey, by the way, you know Russell Wilson has his own team inside the building. Oh, that's interesting. You know, we'll talk to him about that and see what it is. He basically was like, Russell Wilson has his own team. Yeah, that's that. Well, that's the, I haven't talked about. That's done today. Like, I'm not even going to ask him. That's it. They're not. Their key cards are done already, which I love. Which means we're going to win, and we mean business. And you're going to do it my way, and that's what you're going to command. So you're getting some low numbers on the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, and I'm not. Trust me, you're not getting any Reed slander from me. I'm just saying, how many coaches could enter that division, and you go, you know what I mean? Sean Payton has the cachet to where you go, you know, he's right there, right? I think that's how a lot of people would describe Sean Payton. I think Andy Reid's the best coach in football. So I'm not trying to bring him down. Again, just the fact that when you go head-to-head, you feel like you can trust your guy as much as they trust their guy, that's massive, right? And, mm-hmm. and that's the respect that Sean Payton's earned. We don't have Coach of the Year odds yet, but is there anybody off the top of your head as we sit here in March, Donnie, that you would put mm-hmm. in front of Sean Payton for Coach of the Year favorite?
It's hard because you're always looking for the next new thing, right? That's why Brian Daboll was so successful, not because mm-hmm. of the team, but he's like, whoa, hey, team was really stinky, and now they made it to the playoffs. That's why you get it. He's got to be way up there as well. I mean, the usual suspects, and it's funny because Bill Belichick won't get a sniff even if he like wins the division next year over the Buffalo Bills. Andy Reid won't get a sniff. We got Patrick Mahomes, and you're already a good coach. We know that. It's almost like the coach of the year is not actually the coach of the year. It's like, oh, who surprised us the most this year look competent? That should be what the coach of the year is actually called, because otherwise it'd be the same three guys every single year that would win it, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah, Sean Payton seems like it fits that because he doesn't come in like if he came in last year, it would be different. Like, oh, coach, well, yeah, you had Russell Wilson. What do you mean coach of the year? Stop it. Anybody could have done that. But now they were so bad, and all he has to do is come in and be like, hey, you know what? 3 weeks ago in the season, we're a game behind Kansas City. Oh, we did a great job.
So look, I think the Dable thing throws off the idea a little because it felt like to win that award, you had to be one of the best teams in football. Nick Sirianni, Kyle Shanahan. Those are the guys that we were accustomed to winning that award. Brian Daboll finished in third place in his division. But what was the narrative? Oh, my gosh. The Giants made the playoffs? Yeah, he's coach of the year. And the perception around Russ is so bad. If Russell would, and that's why, again, like you mentioned Russ 40-1 ticket. I'll tell you that right now. If that Russ 40-1 ticket at any point, somebody goes, man, I think I got a chance here, they might as well close the odds out right there, Sean Payton's coach of the year. Because any Russell Wilson success, I believe, will be credited to Sean Payton. I think he's going to get all of the credit if things go well in Denver.
When you look at that market, too, FanDuel Sportsbook has Dan Campbell plus 950 as the favorite to be coach of the year, Sean Payton at 12-1. It's up, yeah, 12-1, right behind him. There are some interesting names. Like Matt Eberflus is on there. I don't buy any of that. 12-1, get that out of my face. Robert Saleh, who is anticipating getting Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he would get into the mix. You know which one sticks out to me is right behind him? 16-1 is DeMeco Ryans, because that has the Giants Brian Daboll feel to it. Now, Daboll actually won it in a division where he had no chance to win it. Now, if you're really buying into Jacksonville, like they're a 13-win team, you know, and Houston has a decent season, you can see it. But honestly, I like the moves that the Texans made. They're not going to be nearly as bad as last year. He's a great guy, very media savvy. They tend to eat that up. That's an interesting one to me because if they can make a playoff push, because let's just say Indy goes rookie quarterback, they might not be that good. Let's just say Tennessee looks like they imploded their entire roster, and now you're just hanging around with a legitimate playoff chance with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's an interesting one with DeMeco Ryans.
I totally understand the premise. Let me fly. I actually didn't realize these were up. If I can just fly down this board, though. If I told you the Chiefs went 15-2,
mm-hmm.
do you think that Andy Reid would have a chance?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, just like he's 30-1 alongside about 100 other guys. But to Ron Rivera, stop this. Arthur Smith, huh? I mean, he's sat right there right now with, you know, Jonathan Gannon.
Like look three up from the bottom.
Every game.
Like look three up from the bottom. 30-1, Kyle Shanahan. I mean,
yeah, come on.
So if you're just looking at the numbers, let's just say there's 32 coaches on this list. Like, oh, Shanahan stinks. 29th, man. That's what my vantage point is when I think he is my favorite coach in the NFL just by the way he coaches offense. Sean McDermott, team's always battling, the favorite to win the division. Yeah, but he stinks. Understand that's not what the actual numbers are telling you, but usually it should be the opposite. Like, the best coaches, always up top every year, right? Isn't that what it's supposed to be?
That's how the MVP award works.
Yes. Right? It's like the opposite.
Yeah, like Trey Lance isn't the favorite to win MVP. Look, here's the one thing that is incredible to watch, though, or to see here. 13 coaches are 30-1.
Yeah.
13. To where it is a bit of a, look, we're just throwing our hands up kind of market. And then there's Todd Bowles, 40-1. They're like, yeah, we're going to make him 100-1. This guy's dead to rights. I mean, this guy's dead to rights.
That's Bruce Arians made that phone call like, hey, by the way, I left for this. Downgrade this guy. Just put him way down there. Like, honestly, Todd Bowles, they're running it back with a quarterback that can actually get out of the way of a pass rush. It's kind of odd that Todd Bowles is down 40, because it should be like Mike McCarthy, like, who's next to get fired? Now, you might say Todd Bowles, but they didn't tear the entire team down and be like, hey, by the way, hey, Todd, you know what's happening. We're going to pay you 1 year, and you're gone. That's not really what we're getting out of Todd Bowles.
But also, like, if you, you're right, if you were charged with finding the team that you or the coach that you would put last, I'm not even trying to slander my man. I'm pretty sure it'd be Jonathan Gannon. In what world is Jonathan Gannon going to go out there with no quarterback, no talent as a defensive guy, and do anything other than in that division finish in last place?
But the best part is, like, Steichen is 20-1, right? Right now, he's got a bad football team. Let's not get it twisted. And he's going to probably get a rookie quarterback. And then you slide down Sirianni's 25-1. It's like, what are we missing here? I'm like, you're telling me if the Eagles next year go out, and let's just say they're not as dominant, and they go 12-5 and win the division. Like, yeah, he stinks. Yeah. Like, it's kind of funny the way it plays out.
Also, let me add this here. I just stared at this name for a second, and it took me a bounce to remember that Kevin Stefanski was still the Browns coach.
Yes.
I mean, drop those odds right away. I mean, listen, I don't care what happens with the Browns this year. Nobody's calling up Kevin Stefanski and giving him credit again.
Yeah.
Stefanski, I think did he win it that year that the Browns made the playoffs?
I'm not sure. I don't even remember. Yeah, I don't know.
He was in the mix.
I don't remember him winning it, though. I don't think so. Did he?
Was that the year the Titans were the one seed, though? And I feel like I feel like I'm asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, you're asking way wrong guy.
No.
Barely
he did. Oh, he did win it in 2020 when the Browns made the playoffs.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Vrabel won it the next year.
You get rid of that guy. It's like the kiss of death, you win that.
This guy, Ron Rivera.
Jonathan Gannon, 30-1. Yeah, it's pretty funny how it lines up. Dennis Allen at 25-1, if Carr works out, they win that division. Because it just means, like, you have a team that wasn't that good, won a division, playing good football, and there you go. You're the best coach. When you're not. But that's just how the award goes.
I don't know if there's a market I enjoy talking about more than NFL Coach of the Year. Because the whole thing is always ridiculous. I mean, it's just always crazy.
Like, again, you have all the coaches listed there between plus 950 and 40-1 with Todd Bowles. Like, you're not even getting, like, 150-1s, 2-1s. Like, it's all lumped because nobody has any idea. But the simple fact is that, yeah, we're not going to take any bets on Kyle Shanahan. I mean, the Niners might be the best team in the NFC, but he's not a good coach. Like, what am I missing here? It's like winning an MVP awards. He's, like, the best player from the best team. Why wouldn't the coaches award work the same thing? The coach from the best team. Obviously, he did a good job. We'll be back to close down hour number one right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You listen to your boy DRS yesterday. You're cashing in tickets left and right. I mean, the NBA guru decided to fire on sides yesterday. Bing, bong, boom, 2-0. Now, JP, honestly forgot where you went yesterday, but where did we go?
I took the Kings at home after they're off on the.
Wow.
Got smoked.
Man, they did. And how about this? The day before, JP, I'm like, you know what? Give me some bonus plus 280 here, triple-double. Waits for this day to drill a triple-double when they got smoked by the Celtics. So that is a tough one there. Both Celtics guys went off nuts, too. What? Was it Brown and Tatum? Both had big nights last night, so they were in full groove.
Let me just say this, okay?
They had a lot of points early on in that game, too.
So as everyone is aware, Jason Tatum has burned me many, many, many times.
Yeah. Yeah, what did you do yesterday with this guy?
Well, so I actually, in terms of what I got down on, it was just that World Baseball Classic under. I gave people the Tatum information, but it was one of those things I was like, you know what, I'm just going to leave it be. And he had 29 points through three quarters with a 29.5 prop. Now, he ended up finishing with 36, but I looked at it. Do you know that he was 5 of 10 from the line through three quarters?
Jeez.
And it was just one of those things where I'm like, I don't care. He's very likely going to get at least a point in the fourth quarter, which he did. And I'm like, this is why I can't get involved with this guy. Could you imagine having a Jason Tatum points prop over? He gives it 29 through three quarters, blowout kicks in, doesn't play in the fourth, and he shot 5 of 10 from the line. I wouldn't even know what to do with myself.
Yeah, and like early in the fourth quarter before we went to the bench, like missed like two 17-foot open jumpers. Like, hey, no, I just don't have it anymore. Uh-huh. Take me out, coach. Take me out. So, JP, where are we going tonight? I assume it's going to be the NBA again?
Yeah, I'm going to go with another side.
All right, so we're going to go sides tonight. Knicks Heat, Nuggets Wizards, Warriors Mavericks, Pacers Raptors, Spurs Bucks, Hawks T-Wolves, Rockets Grizzlies, Sixers Bulls, Blazers Jazz, Suns Lakers. Now, JP usually likes a little bit of action. I don't think he's going to be like, let me give you the Spurs. That's 17.5. It's a lot of 1 and 2 point lines out here. And if I know JP, it might be that Knicks Heat game. It might be that Knicks Heat game right here where we're going. Find out in hour number two. We'll take your calls, 844-843-6879.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Let's go! Come on, hour number two, officially underway now. We've got to find out where JP's going tonight. I already made my decision. I think he's going Knicks Heat. I think it's Knicks Heat.
Why? Tell me why. Why is that what you think?
He likes to bet Knicks games. You know what I mean? Low total, or low number, plus two.
You know, he does like to bet Knicks games, but he also loves betting Sixers games. JP, Sixers, just lost, won't lose again, light line, 3.5. Feels like Philly, doesn't it? I think it feels like Philly.
What do we got, JP?
There's another good
spot. Oh, wait.
There.
Right, what do you got? Lay it out.
No, I'll let it be.
I'm laying 7 with the Nuggets.
Whoa.
That's not what I expected.
Big numbers out of Jokic. What is Jokic's... what's his triple-double number tonight? Let's see. Plus 130. We're getting plus money back on this. Good stuff.
I mean, this guy's out of the race. Plus 130.
What's Sabonis in that? When did Sabonis turn into Jokic, by the way? When did that happen? I mean, this guy's on a warpath, like with his numbers. Yeah. I always knew he was a good player, but jeez.
Something else. Like, they've really turned the narrative around on the whole, what were they doing with the Halliburton trade?
Yeah.
Like, that's
no, you're right about it. Well, he got Sabonis. He's a nice player. He'll probably be gone. Like, no, he's been really good for that basketball team. Talking about lighting the beam at the end. Like, I feel we should, like, light the beam on the early line, like, to get it started, right? Welcome in, everybody. Like, you know, like the 7-7. Like, we'll just, like, both press, like, a button. Like, the beam will come across the screen. Here we go.
You know what? Let's find their next, like, big game so we can come in and light the beam after. JP, why do you like Denver tonight? What's that about?
First of all, I don't trust the Wizards on any given night. They're very volatile.
No Kuzma.
They're on a back-to-back, and that. So, 7 with the best team in the West, I'll take that all day, even if they're on the road.
All right.
Now, K-Dub, go ahead. I was going to say, Luka got upgraded to probable.
Did he really?
Plus one, yes. So, they're plus one now.
Yeah.
I mean, Golden State doesn't win that game, right?
No, I don't even care.
Ooh, DeJounte's out, too, tonight? Love it.
Well, you already made some bets?
Yeah, I did. I put a prop bet in on Trae Young. Not knowing, if DeJounte Murray played yes or no, it didn't matter to me. But it's a points prop on him. That's good news then. So that's good news right there. Woo!
The two things. One, they confirm Luka's in, I like the over. And don't be like, well, what about it? No, I like the over at that number. Don't worry about the I like the over. Well, here's what I was going to – I thought that we would get this from JP of late 12.5 with Memphis – because John Morant's back, and they're going to absolutely beat up on the Houston Rockets.
By the way, speaking of John Morant, like, cause I just type in, like, you know, like, John Morant, just to get an update on what he's doing. Now, not really, like, off where it's like, okay, here's a picture of him drinking on the plane, but the memes for John Morant, like, he's on the sideline, and somebody has a big play, and does, like, the fake gun thing, like, you know, and people actually put, like, the gun or, like, the bang in his hand. People are wild. Like, I say this now. I was just going to say, I wish I knew how to do that. I'm glad I don't know how to do that, because I don't know where my Twitter account would be at this point, and it would be sensational, but who knows where I'd ended up in life if I was very good at editing what I could put out on Twitter.
Yeah, no, you don't need that at all. You're good. You're good. Oh, now.
What do we got?
Now, this is a good
tweet. Oh, okay.
Now, this is a good tweet here. Ian Hartsitz writes, I guess, about football here. Yeah. It just reads, Donnie, this time last year, and it's a compilation of everyone losing their mind about Malik Willis. I mean, now this
oh, it's
is
good.
Now
yeah.
this is excellent.
I'm give me some. Give me. Yeah, read me some of the top accounts there and what they were actually saying.
Yeah, Ari Mirov, Malik Willis with another bomb at his pro day, and look at him celebrating after. Teams are going to fall in love with this guy. Then there's from PFF, Mike Tomlin was liking what he was seeing at Malik Willis's pro day. What should
That's
the Steelers
right.
do in the draft? Based on QB needs, we'll get a couple of them in the top 10. Oh, Ian Rappaport.
Man,
oh.
good one.
Now that's all takes exposed. Now
that's
all
good.
Takes exposed like you've never seen before. And then the last one here, Jay Jones said that he made himself some real money today based on the pro day. Third round pick, two or three opportunities to start, and it's never happened. It lost his job to Josh Dobbs.
Lost his job to a journeyman quarterback on like one day with the playbook. Like, you know what? This is our guy right now at this point. But you're right about that, too. Like the Ian Rappaport one, I always laugh at those because it's not like Ian Rappaport just going out there with his own evaluations. Like Ian Rappaport has his ear to the ground and what people are telling him. Yeah, wow, this guy's a fast mover. And we got to draft day. It's like, all right, not round one, not two, because I think it was basically what? The Steelers, it was Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett. It was like the hot topic. And Steelers like, yeah, it's always been Kenny Pickett. And nobody was even coming behind us to take Malik Willis. And here's Malik Willis. Malik Willis, in effect, got his GM fired is what it feels like.
Yeah, well, him and A.J. Brown, I guess. Also, a Lamar tweet, crying laughing emoji, really.
Uh-oh. Mark. Oh, come on. Like, he's bad. He's, you know, he's bad on Twitter. We don't know what he's talking about ever. Like, come on. Like, what is it in response to something, or he just put that out there?
I don't know. Yeah, like, it's not a quote tweet or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, see? He's bad at Twitter. Now, Lamar. Lamar, if you are listening right now, I mean, 844-843-6879, we will let you get whatever you feel the need to say off of your chest. We'll be that national outlet you need. When you got information or you're upset, don't go to Twitter and put the emojis out. Get on with your boy DRS, get on with K-Dub, and we'll let it be known. And by the way, we're in your corner. We got you to the Colts. We got you big payday. So I'm talking about, like, we don't need 3%, K-Dub. 1% for me, 0.5% for K-Dub, 1.5 total. Yeah, we, and we will be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get after it here. Hour number two. Yes, having some fun. Tomorrow, Sweet 16 action. We got you covered all day. We are here for Thursday and Friday. Now, there's no afternoon games, so we don't have any preemptive coverage there. So we'll be able to break them all down. Four games Thursday, four games Friday. Looking forward to it. Big cheering sections here for me, for three of the teams as we try to advance and cash in on at least one. Well, granted, I can only get one of those to the finish line because you can't have multiple champions. But as I say that, we're going to keep it in the basketball range. Carl Anthony Towns, out of nowhere, looks like he's coming back tonight to play for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And obviously, if they get their other young superstar back along with him, they might be a player in the play, at least fun to watch, because every night they're like 235, 236, 240 is a total. They're fun. But we also just got another update momentarily. Crispy Haynes, New Orleans Pelicans star Zion Williamson, will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. This guy is a medical absolute marvel. Like, think about what that tweet actually means, because we knew he hurt himself. Mm-hmm. He disappeared for like a month and a half. Reappeared, why? Because he hurt his hamstring again in the rehab process. It's been like a month since then, and now the update is reevaluated in 2 weeks, which if you're reading into what that means is we have no idea. It's not healing at all, and maybe in 2 weeks we'll have an update for you. Never saw anything like this in my life.
He's played 29 games this year. Last game, January 2nd against the Sixers, 26 points, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. But Zion injures the hamstring in that game, even though Doc Rivers during that game said that it was like having to guard Fast Shaq. We haven't seen Fast Shaq since January 2nd. Why do we laugh? We laugh because it's just so wild. We would love to see Zion out there. But I don't remember the last time a Zion update wasn't basically, yeah, he's still injured. Like, that's every Zion update. Do they have the worst doctors ever in New Orleans?
Maybe.
Do they not know what to do with this guy?
Like, what do they have him doing? Like, okay, we're going to rehab today. Well, before you stretch, run this 40. I'm going to time you. We'll see how good that hamstring is. Like, well, this isn't working out. And we're not talking about Kevin. Like, hey, we're taking it really slow. He blew his ACL out. He had an Achilles tear. We got to make sure we get him corrected. You're talking about a hamstring injury, which I've had bad ones. Now, granted, did I rush to get back on the football field? Yes, I did. Should I have come back as soon as possible? No. But I've never seen anything like this where you have world-class care for a hamstring 24 hours a day. It's almost impossible. Like, when you get hurt, they shut you down. You stretch it out. They put the little sensors on it to give it the stimulation. There's a path for this. It's why, Kevin, not everybody as a pro, like, hey, you got a hamstring. Well, he's done for the year. Like, no, you expect, like, hey, you know what? That's usually a 2 to 3 week injury, and then he'll be back on the mend. Not 2 to 3 weeks, heard it in process. 2 to 3 weeks, oh, no, nothing's happened yet. Okay, another 2 weeks. That's not the way it's supposed to go. That's like a torn hamstring. It's like you're going to get surgery and be down for 14 weeks. What's going on here?
Well, so, and this is why it's so odd. To your point, it's not that Zion keeps getting hurt every single time he gets back out in an NBA game. He can't even make it back out to the game, which is never how this is supposed to go. And what's really odd, I think, is are they misdiagnosing him? I mean, is that possible? Like, maybe I'm covering for Zion a little bit, and I should just, you know, acknowledge, like, oh, he's not going to be healthy enough ever to, you know, live up to his full potential. But are they giving him bad information? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
No,
like, guys get hamstring injuries. LeBron, like, again, not to pull it back to LeBron, he's 38. He's still going. You know, him and Zion, are their frames identical? No, but LeBron's massive, moving at wild speeds and all that. He goes 38 years. I mean, this guy Zion can't give us 30 games.
But it's everything we know, too. Like, you have the sensors, and you have the data on when you should play, when you shouldn't play, the aftercare, the pre-care, which never was around, like, the 80s and 90s. These guys would have, like, a, you know, Jordan would have a tough game, pop a cigar in his mouth, and then head out and probably have a couple cocktails that night, and then get it fired back up for the next day on a back-to-back. Like, these guys have everything to their advantage basically written down, like cold tubs, hot tubs, all of that stuff designed to keep them healthy and the best of conditions. Like, Zion's not saying, you know what, I think I tweaked my hamstring. Oh, by the way, fly coach, you're in the middle seat for a 7-hour flight. Like, that doesn't happen. Like, you have probably, like, Zion is so important to that franchise, not only from on the court, but off the court and ticket sales. You would figure that these guys are just, you know, helping them out, right?
So, okay, so reevaluated in 2 weeks. That would be from today, April 5th. Let's just say, miraculously, that on that he's allowed to play on April 5th. There are 3 games left in the Pelican season. 3. Let's say they can't clear him on the day of. I mean, we're down to 2 games. 2 more games. 1 against the Knicks and 1 against the Timberwolves. So, let's be honest. Zion is basically done for the remainder of the regular season. And best case scenario, makes it out there for a play-in game. Makes it out there for a play-in game. Which they are, by the way, right now, not in. And at this rate, they don't seem likely to be in at all. Like, I know they just beat up on the Spurs. I mean, that just doesn't even count. I mean, it just doesn't even count. I don't know if this schedule maybe will lighten up for them and they're going to be able to take advantage here, but this is just, I mean, look, this is also a team that lost to the Rockets the other day. So who could possibly care?
Yeah, and last year it was like, hey, you can make a run. Like, look, we're just going to hold him out for the season because we want him healthy for the next year. As long as they just get him out there. Now, Mark Stein chimes in. The Pelicans say that Zion Williamson will be reevaluated in 2 weeks after showing incremental improvement. So the incremental improvement is hilarious. That basically means we think he can walk right now. So instead of him just sitting around and doing nothing, he's walking. That's what I get that feeling. 2 weeks we're going to check in, which then 2 weeks will go by. And what happens if he does come back? Hey, by the way, we snuck into the 9. Yeah, he's available for the playoffs. 9 minutes is his cap tonight. Yep, congratulations.
Now, look, I remember Alvin Gentry. I believe it was Alvin Gentry.
Yeah.
With that Zion cap, and all of a sudden it'd be the heart of the fourth.
He couldn't figure it out. Yeah, he couldn't even figure it out.
He uses all his minutes.
He's like, what do you mean? Like, I used to, like, it's 24 minutes. I can't play him anymore. Like, well, why didn't you just save 5 minutes in the third and put it in the fourth? He couldn't even keep track of it. You know what I mean? I mean, my God, Alvin.
He literally could not figure out how to get in 5 Zion minutes with a game left. He couldn't do it. It'd be 7 minutes in the game. They'd be on a 9-2 run led by Zion, and out comes Zion. They lose the game by 11. It was incredible.
Yes. Instead of saying, like, hey, he's got 20 minutes tonight, 5 in the first, 5 in the second, 5 in the third, 5 in the fourth, and then, hold on, man, I just played him 15 minutes in the second quarter. Like, I don't even have enough for the fourth quarter now. It's like, yeah, no kidding. But, and the fact of the matter is, like, it was a hard ceiling, as if, like, if it's like, I don't care. Like, Zion, do you want to keep playing? Heck yeah, coach, I want to keep playing. All right, get out there. And, like, the police came down from the rafters to arrest him and stop the game because Zion got back in the game. Like, there was, like, you know what I mean? Like, no matter what happened, like, there was no official, like, he can't play or you're going to get fired. And the coach didn't have enough cachet to be like, look, I understand I played him a little bit too much in the third. We got to win this game. If he plays an extra 4 minutes, so be it. Like, no. Take the loss and get out of here.
Correct. And that's, again, he comes back for that play-in game. I mean, his points prop is going to be about 16 and a half because his minutes restriction is going to be 22 minutes. And it's just be like, what do you want me to do with this? I mean, what do you actually want me to do with this year?
But nothing beats last year. We got an update on Zion. What's the update? Oh, we got video from practice. That looks like a 780 windmill dunk right there, but he's not ready. He's weeks away at this point. Jeez.
He's on a bouncy court. And the thing, like, man, he really was, though. Like, that wasn't a lie, because the court would literally index as he'd jump. It's like, where'd you even build that? Like, well, maybe get him off the bouncy court.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he's used to the bouncy court. That's what I was saying. Like, home court advantage. Like, you're just going to use a bouncy court for Zion, because that's the only way he can actually make it through at this point. By the way, odds boost here. Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Devin Booker to each drop 30 or more, plus 330. That's good, because I know how much you like Devin Booker tonight, and that would be the question mark for me. We got a lot more basketball to go. Sweet 16. Let's get a little preview coming up next. Come on back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.